Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks. Oh, I need the. You want to hear me, I guess. Okay, can you hear me now? In case you missed it, I said, praise the Lord. Thanks for having us today. It's so good to be with you because I've been so blessed to know Pastor Brian these past 2 years that I've been up here in Oak Ridge. We've been great friends. He's probably one of my best friends that I've made up here. We used to have lots of time talking about coffee, so I know all about this place. And it's exciting. I think it's great what's going on, and there's a replant that's been taking place and change in vision and direction, and hopefully I can help add some fuel to that fire today. So I know a bit about you, but you know nothing about me. So who am I? My name is Rick Bell. That's my wife, Jennifer. And we are with a missions organization called Global Outreach International, and we spent close to 20 years together in China, more than 20 years ministering in China in different capacities, but we were in China since 1995 as a family, and we came back to the States in 2013. We ended up helping a church in Missouri during that time. Then we moved to Mississippi. And then after that, we spent some time for a winter term teaching in Alaska Bible Institute. If you go to Alaska, don't go in the winter. We had a lot of snow, but it was fun. And so you probably say, well, where? And now you're here. And next, our next stop is Thailand. And we're planning to leave for Thailand July 21st. We're going to head back to Mississippi next week after a time here. We were helping a church here. And that's who we are, where we're going. And you're probably thinking, well, this is going to be one of those missionary messages. And when I first got saved and they brought missionaries to church, I wasn't very excited. And that was back in the day when they had the old slideshows. Some of you remember the slides, click. Click, and here's the outhouse that we built, click, and here's sister so-and-so, and blah. And I was never really interested in missions, and I was involved with a group of young adults at the time, and they were really interested, and I just wasn't that interested. And some of them ended up going to the field, but I was so surprised. God got me onto the field, and here I am today, not with a slideshow, and I don't have any pictures, I'm sorry, but I'm here as a missionary. But I don't want you to look at this as, well, we're going to listen to the missionary today, because my theme is that we are all missionaries. If we have received Jesus Christ as Lord, if we call him our Lord and Savior, we've been saved through grace by faith, our sins have been forgiven, we have become born again, children of the kingdom, each of us has a position, a purpose, an assignment for that kingdom work, and that makes us missionaries. Your first mission is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And your second is to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, if we could just get these two down, there'd be a lot of problems solved in the world, right? But then the Lord brings the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Go therefore unto all the nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. The Lord never leaves us nor forsakes us. Lo, he is with us always, and up high, he is with us always. He never leaves us, and that's the good news. When we approach the Lord in worship, we don't come as perfect beings, but we come to a perfect being, the Lord. And he is holy, and he is just, and how can we stand before him except that Jesus died for our sins, and he took all our guilt and shame. And that gives us the privilege, the honor, even the right to come before him into his presence. And that is the good news of the gospel. I want to look at some verses from Psalm 96 today. If you have your Bible, Psalm 96, verses 1 to 3. And it says in verse 1, O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. When we sing to the Lord, we are offering up praises, but I believe there are many mentions of the new song in the scriptures because God is always doing something new. He's always doing something new. When you got born again, if you've been born again, you've been recreated, you've been born anew, and daily is an opportunity to be renewed in the Spirit, in Christ, in the work of God. God is doing a new thing, he says, in the scriptures, and everything is leading up to a time in which we are awaiting a new heaven and new earth. 2 Peter 3:10 says, we await a new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. So new, God is a God of the new. He never gets old. We're getting old, but we are not getting old in our spirit. Our spirit, it can be continually renewed, and this body will eventually go to the dust if the Lord doesn't return before then. But we're all heading to a day, to a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when we shall all be changed, and it will be new, and it will be incorruptible, a new song. And so God started something new in the garden when he placed man and woman in the garden. And then there was a problem. Things got disrupted. But then he brought a new element into it. When he told the serpent would be crushed, and the seed of the woman would crush his head while he would get the heel of that seed. He had the hope of the gospel at the very beginning, and throughout his time, he did a new thing, working with Israel, working with mankind, and then bringing the thing to the place where Jesus would come and totally do a new thing after they were so used to following the law, the ceremonies, the traditions, and everything has to be just right. And then there was a new thing in the cross, and now it's going to head to that new heaven and new earth because of the cross, that we can all partake of that. And I just get thrilled, thrilled when I think of the new heavens and the new earth wherein righteousness dwells. Can you imagine a kingdom wherein righteousness dwells and where there's no unrighteousness? There's no corruption, there's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no sin, there's no pain, and we're heading towards that new song. Some of you need a new song in your life. Some of you are getting tired, weary, I've been at this forever, or things don't seem to be changing. God can give you a new song if you can trust him for that. We just sang about the promises and that he is faithful, and if we can be patient and believe for it. You know, a lot of people just don't think about it and just say, I'm stuck, this is where I'm at, and this is the way it's always going to be. But you can go to a scripture like we just read and sing to the Lord a new song and go to him in prayer. Say, Lord, I want to sing this new song. Put a new song in my heart. You are always about the new. And I've been renewed. I need renewal again. And we're heading to that time where we're heading where it's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And here's an interesting thing about that, too, is that, you know, we often talk about receive Jesus, your sins will be forgiven, you go to heaven. And that's true. But heaven is not the final stop. Sometimes we just put a full stop at heaven. Heaven is just an interim place, a holding place before the new heavens and new earth comes in your new body, the resurrection of our bodies. We'll receive a new body. Everything's going to be new, and we are going to have a place in the new heavens, new earth, wherein righteousness dwells. You won't have to fear any crime, corruption, any election. There will be no need for elections anymore. The Lord Jesus will be the King of King and Lord of Lords. We won't have to fear any assassin's bullets. We won't have to fear anything of falsehood and stress and trial. I'm looking forward to that day, and that's what moves me. I think as we move towards that day, we can revive ourselves with a new song. Thank you, Lord. I'm part of that. Thank you, Lord, that you've made a way for me to be in a place where I can have some inheritance in that. So that's verse 1. Verse 2 says, sing to the Lord. That ought to cause us to sing to the Lord and bless his name. Because of the gospel, we can actually bless his name. A lot of times we think that, the Lord just tolerates us. The Lord just allows us. But the Lord loves us with a heavenly love. The Lord loves us with a love that we can barely just touch the surface of. If we could really believe that God loves me enough so much that he overlooks my sins, my shame, my failures because of the blood of Jesus Christ, that when I sing to him and praise him, it actually blesses his name. You say, I can't think that way. I bless his name. I'm a worm. I'm corrupt. I'm a shameful, sinful creature. Well, all of that, you know, was true, but if you placed your faith in Christ, he turned you into a saint. He turned you into his child. The Father delights in his children, especially a good, perfect, and heavenly Father. How much more will the Father give good things to those who ask, when you who are evil know how to give good to your own children? God is blessed when we worship him and praise him. And worship and praise isn't just when you come to church and sing, but it's when you are about his business, when you are living for him, when you're singing in your heart, making melody in your heart. And I don't mean that you're a musical person necessarily, but simply obedience to him, responding to situations the way the word directs us, being sensitive to his spirit working in your life, and that he's always with you. Like I said, he's always with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Acknowledging him when you're at Walmart or at the gas station, thanking him that things are okay right now, and that, well, if something's not, that it's not worse. God is always there, and when we direct our hearts to him, I believe it blesses him. And that makes it an exciting relationship. We have a God of grace that we live, follow, serve, and celebrate. And that grace is what really mobilizes us. I mean, you think, oh, I'm not such a good Christian. I don't do much for the Lord. Get a hold of his grace and his goodness. That's the next verse here. I didn't even finish that. Bless his verse. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. His salvation being grace. But notice that it says proclaim his salvation from day to day, not just to the missionaries, but this is just a general directive. We all have a part in proclaiming his salvation. And this was written in the Old Testament. So when you hear the word salvation, you're probably thinking about Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We put our trust in him. We will be delivered and saved. And that is salvation. But that wasn't what they were looking at when the Holy Spirit directed the psalmist to write that. Yet we see salvation all throughout the Old Testament. Like I said, it started in the garden when he gave a veiled hint that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. There's salvation there. And I believe when we see salvation in the Old Testament, often it could be referring to the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. That was a great salvation. Salvation meaning save or rescue. They were saved from Egypt. They had salvation from their enemies. God worked mightily for Israel on their behalf, giving them salvation from their enemies. And there's a theme of salvation that they're to look forward to. We look back to the cross. This could be also looking forward to the cross. But the idea is that we proclaim that God is a Savior. And the Lord himself says it in the book of Isaiah several times. I am your Savior. There is no other. And then Jesus comes on the scene, the complete fullness expression of God, our Savior. And he plays it out in such a way that we can grasp, that blows our minds, because why would he do that? Why would he come for us? Why would he come for us when we've turned our backs on him, when we have done so much wrong? While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And how much love, a great love you might lay down for a friend, but while we were his enemies, Christ died for us. This is salvation, because without his work of rescuing us, we'd be in trouble. And so there's a world out there that's in trouble. And the verse I just read says, proclaim his salvation from day to day. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Now you say, I'm not really gifted with words. I'm not a preacher. And, you know, you're the missionary. That's what we pay you for. No, it doesn't have to be a vocal proclamation. I want you to be vocal. I want to be able to share the good news whenever I can. But let's be real. Sometimes people aren't ready for it. Sometimes they're not prepped for it. But we do a proclaiming whether we speak it or not. We proclaim when we treat the cashier right at the hardware store, or when we don't boss a waitress around at the restaurant, and we smile and we give someone an encouraging word, when we respond to things as a godly person in the workplace or in school or in the neighborhood, when we open our homes up to people, when we try to share the life, the love, the light of Jesus, the kingdom of God, a kingdom in which there is peace and comfort and righteousness, when we see ourselves as ambassadors for that, there is a proclamation that comes forth from just our being around. All of us have dysfunctional families to some degree. Some have a bit more dysfunction than others. But you can actually proclaim the goodness of God, the salvation of God, just by your being the rock, the steady one, the one who's responding to things in a Christ-like manner. And yes, you can't just be quiet. Let them know. People ought to know that you love Jesus. And when the time comes, maybe you can lead them in a prayer or something like that. But the idea is that we're about the business. Everyone's a missionary. Some people will be the ones who are preaching it from the pulpit. Other people will be the ones who are praying for that preacher or praying for the missionaries or sending them. Or, like I said, being the light in your home, being the light in your workplace. You have an opportunity in this community to be a light. This community, Brian and I have talked many times about how hard it is to crack this nut. But you're proclaiming it just by being here, by making attempts, by praying, by having the community cookouts and things like that, by interacting with people at the stores. And just, if you, I always say, have your radar on, always being on alert. Is this an opportunity to share the love of God? Is this an opportunity to speak about the Lord? I may not speak about the Lord at every place I get serviced at, but I'm always got my radar on, looking for it, waiting for it, and being sensitive. Lord, do you want me to say something here? Does this look like a good opportunity? You know, just thinking about that makes you a missionary, because you have an interest in the kingdom and you see yourself as part of God's work. God uses us all. And as far as proclaiming his salvation from day to day, you know, we all have a part in it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:6, he said that I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And that's such a beautiful idea there of what I'm trying to say, is that we all have a part. It's really God that does the work. God is the ultimate missionary. Jesus was the ultimate missionary. He left everything and came into a foreign land. But God chose to use people. He chose to use you and me. And one of my earliest memories in China was when we were taught at a school, and the school brought us to a remote village, and the remote village was of a tribal people in China, so they didn't even speak Mandarin Chinese, which was hard enough to learn. I thought when I was in that village and trying to communicate with people, I couldn't. My Mandarin was not even started yet. I thought even if I could speak the Chinese language, I couldn't preach the gospel to them here because they don't even speak that language. They speak their own tribal language. And I thought, here I am at the ends of the earth, and I'm feeling helpless as a baby. So close, yet so far. And it was troubling. But we ended up doing all kinds of works with people like that in the countryside. We got involved with school building projects that got us into those areas. We had translators with us. And there was a group that came from America at one point, and they picked up a young lady from Thailand who happened to be a tribal of the same tribe that was in China. And when I met her and saw that she could speak that language, I said, come on, we have some places to go. And so we took the group down to these places, and there we were at the ends of the earth, where I felt so helpless as a baby, seeing someone preaching the gospel to them in their own language. And I had a part in it. I was there. And, you know, I would have loved to say, oh, I preached to them and I led them to the Lord. No, they were the ones that were doing that stuff. I just was glad to have a part in it somewhere. I was glad to be there. And you know, we don't have to be babies when we feel helpless as a baby. We can't be babies about it. We just say, Lord, you know. Lord, you have a plan. Lord, you are working. And 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, always be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Sometimes we don't see the fruit. Sometimes we don't feel like we're doing such mighty things for the Lord. And it may not appear that way, but your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So even the smallest things you do, even giving a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, will bring a reward. Receiving a righteous one into your home, receiving a prophet into your home, is going to leave you a righteous one's reward or a prophet's reward. The Psalms say, they who sow in tears will reap in joy. Tears can be a ministry in prayer, weeping for the lost, but you reap in joy. And that's what we're heading towards. That is the end we're seeing. And if we can see ourselves as I'm no longer just ordinary Herbert Christian or Joe Christian, I am an ambassador of God. I have a mandate. I have the Lord himself who said, lo, I am with you always. I have the authority of Jesus in me. I have the privilege to serve him. Why would you want to miss it? It's so exciting. It's so exciting to be a part of what God's doing. You know, we were created to work, and the curse brought all the weariness and drudge into it. But we were created for work, and I believe, just as I said, heaven is not the final stop, but the new heavens and new earth is not going to be us floating on clouds and strumming harp strings like the cartoons show you. We're going to have assignments. We're going to have work to do, but it's not like, oh, I don't want to work. It's going to be a work without the curse. It's going to be mobilizing, energizing. And I said that it's the grace and love of God that mobilizes us, and it gives us energy. It's like you want to keep going. You forget time when you're involved in something you're passionate about and you love doing. And that's what we're looking at here. So this third verse here, and then I'll bring it home. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. There's the missionary mandate, all peoples. I mentioned Matthew 28, the Great Commission, before. A lot of people say, well, there's our call to missions, the Great Commission. But the call to missions is really throughout the entire Bible. It begins back when Eve was told that the seed of the woman is going to crush the serpent's head. God's going to do a new thing. And then with Abraham, he was going to do a new thing. In Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, he talked about how all the nations will be blessed through you. And then he goes on with Israel. Israel's role was really to be the ambassadors of the Lord to the nations. It was always in God's plan to reach the nations. We see it here in this verse. Declare his wonders to the nations. And all the way up through Revelation, where you see every tribe and tongue before the throne. It's from Genesis to maps. It is the heart of God to reach all peoples. And we have been brought in on this special privilege and blessing. And we are here. Why did he not just take us home when we got born again or said yes to Jesus? It's because he has something for us. He has a reason for us. He has people he wants to our lives to influence and touch. And you could be touching a life on the other side of the world by praying for us. I'm your Thailand connection now. We're your Thailand connection. We hope you become family. You're praying for us. And we've got a newsletter there if you want to sign up for it on the clipboard when you leave. But that's fine. Even as a church, once in a while, lift us up in prayer. You can touch lives because it's I planted, Apollos watered, but the Lord gave the increase. We all have a part in it. And like I said, with that group that I took through in China to reach those peoples, I didn't do all the exciting stuff with them. They did the exciting stuff, but I was just thrilled to be a part of it, to think God had me there to help them to get there. It was fun. And so that's what I'm talking about. The mobilizing work is for all nations and declare his wonders, you know, his glory. I could say we could talk about his glory. We know just a smidgen of his love. We know a smidgen of his glory. But if we were really enamored with God's glory, we couldn't shut up about it. We'd want to share it with everybody. Hey, you know, when you see that, you know, look at that beautiful sunset. Or you want to point out glorious things. And a sunset is glorious. But that's just a small, you know, type or figure. You know, in China, we had these wonderful fireworks at Spring Festival. I mean, we think we see fireworks here. We don't see fireworks here. They light up the whole town with their fireworks at that time. And it was just like, wow, you're just fixed on it. And did you see that? And if we knew the glory of God, and again, we can get that, and we can't fully get it right now, but we can know in part. And when we come to the Lord in prayer, renew in me that new song. Give me a taste, like Moses said, show me your glory. And it might not happen right when you're praying. It might not happen. But if you're attentive and your radar is going, like I said, and you're always looking for God, God's going to at some point whoosh in and give you a revelation of his goodness, his love, his glory. And you're going to say, wow. And you're going to be touched. And it's like, that's what missions is about. I want to declare his glory. I want to declare the wonders. The wonders are not just the works he did, like delivering Israel from Egypt. That was a wonder. He split the Red Sea. That is quite a wonder. But the wonder, like we go at Christmas time, the wonders of his love. How can it be that you love me? And I think a lot of us are not as affected by the wonders of his love as we could be. I know I wasn't for so long because I was always beating myself up on the inside, feeling guilty, feeling like I got to do better, sometimes doing good and then messing up and, oh boy, how can you love me, God? And that seems so holy, doesn't it? But it's not. That's not faith. Faith is believing you love me even though I'm such a mess, but I'm starting to feel guilty, but I'm not going to go there. That's faith. That's believing the gospel. The gospel is good news. And if you feel like you have to go there and entertain your guilt and do penance in your head, you're relying on works. You're relying on self-righteousness. Anybody hear me today? I mean, what do you think of when you think of self-righteousness? You think of Pharisees, right? Oh, we're better than you. We're holier than thou and things like that. But did you know self-righteousness is also, oh, I'm such a worm, I'm not worthy, and how can the Lord forgive me? And, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up again, and you must be really angry with me, and I can't expect a blessing or my prayers to be. You're basing all your relationship with God on how righteous you are. In this case, how unrighteous you are, but it's a relationship based on your works. And this took me a long time to get past. I suddenly realized I'm legalistic. I'm beating myself up all the time. It's so much better to say, Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished. I can't add to that work. I don't know why I keep thinking I can and why I have to feel like I have to be guilty for a few days before God can smile at me again. No, I mean, if you know you've sinned, repent, get right with God. But I'm talking about once you've done that, it's over. Quit trying to beat yourself up, do penance, hike a mile up a mountain to show God you're serious. You don't have to do any of that. That's all works. You just receive the forgiveness of God. He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all sin, of all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. So that's a freeing thing. And that is what moved me to want to go to China. When God was calling me to China, I didn't want to go. I told you at the beginning, I didn't care for the missionary stuff. I didn't see myself as a missionary. And then he started calling me to China, and I thought, I don't want to go to China. And I heard guilt-producing messages made me feel this small. You need to go. How can you be so comfortable while people out there are perishing and da-da-da-da? And I used to like that kind of stuff. It made me feel this small, and it would motivate me for a little bit. But that was just guilt making me motivated for a little bit, and eventually it wore off, and I was okay. I forgot about it. You know, didn't change me much. But I liked hearing it, and maybe it was planting seeds and things. But what moved me, what mobilized me, was this grace, the love of God. You mean that God doesn't just tolerate me? Oh, I paid for your sins and you blew it again. I guess you'll go to heaven because I did it for you. Okay, come on in. No, that's what I used to think of God as. But the good news of the gospel, why did Jesus shed his precious blood just so God could tolerate me? It's because God loved me. And that blood cleansed me. He sees me through the blood. He sees me with the very righteousness of Jesus. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. And how many of you feel comfortable saying, I am the righteousness of God? Learn how to say it by faith. It's faith. It's not feelings. And don't say it and be hypocritical if you just want to go live like the devil and you want to keep sinning. That's not who this is for. This is for those who are sincerely seeking to grow in their relationship with God. Your heart is in the right place. And because you, by faith, are looking to him, You don't have to beat yourself up anymore. You don't have to cry and wail over your sins. You can rejoice because he's faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you don't have to feel like you've lost ground in your walk with him. You keep going forward because that's what the cross accomplished for us. And his love is greater than we can imagine. And he loved us so much to die for us. When we were his enemies, he saw some value in us even then. You know, we don't want to follow the me-centered gospel, they say, but you have to get some of the idea that you are valued so much that even when you were highly corrupt and ugly and sinful, he still saw value enough to come and die for you and to woo you into his kingdom. And now, how much more being saved through the life of Christ? And yet we still beat ourselves up and say, oh, woe is me. Lord, I messed up again. How can you love me? No. Instead of that, say, oh, praise God. You said it is finished. I can't believe you love me, but I'll receive it. I thank you, Lord. Praise God. And I am free. I am free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And the devil's going to come and try to get you to say, no, you're still worthless. You can't do nothing. And how can you expect God to use you? Hey, talk to Jesus, Lord. I mean, Lord, thank you that I can say to the devil, talk to Jesus. And maybe some people are letting the devil be Lord over them when they give in to that kind of thinking, when they give in to that kind of burden and that heaviness and that weariness. Now, we got a new song. We got wonders. So the wonders, declare his wonders, is what I was just talking about, the wonder that his love is so victorious, so overcoming and mobilizing. Guilt can motivate you for a little bit, but when you own the love, it's mine. I actually have enough faith to believe he loves me. Not just Jesus loves me, this I know, but he really loves me. I can say I'm the righteousness of God because of what he did. It's not what I did. It's not by anything I've done. It's by grace we are saved, lest anyone should boast. But I'll take it. Man, when that gets into your spirit, it's not just a head thing, but it gets into your spirit. It's like, what do you want me to do, Lord? I'm willing to go. And that's what happened. I got a hold of that, and I was ready to go to China. I could go anywhere if I was able to hold on to that. And I believe we all can, but we need to encourage each other in these final days because there's so much discouragement out there. The circumstances will try to discourage you. The world will try to discourage you. The devil's trying to discourage you. That's why we need to not forsake the gathering, why we need to encourage each other, and why we need to be in the Word daily to remind ourselves who we are in Christ. Read the Old Testament and get the history and understand what God has done, and you have to know that to understand the new. But don't stay away from the new. Get into the epistles and remind yourself what he's done and who we are in Christ and how good he is, and that will fuel you when the fumes seem to be getting low. And so, will you consider yourself a missionary? I'm not asking you to come to Thailand, but you have a connection if you want to come visit us. But you can be a part of it. You can help. You can pray. But you can be a part of what's going on here. It's not, am I a missionary? It's, what kind of missionary am I? Maybe I like to write, and I can write some encouraging things to people. Maybe I'm good at being a prayer warrior, or maybe I can give a cup of cold water to someone who's in need. What kind of missionary am I? That's the thing to ask. And just walk in your calling. We're ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and you've got an exciting opportunity in the days ahead with this church. The circumstances are always looking threatening, like, oh, is it ever going to take off? But you can keep looking and know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain, and that there are things happening sometimes that you don't even know that have touched lives, regardless of what the circumstances might suggest. So I want to encourage you with that today, and I thank you for allowing us to come and be a part. I'm so happy now that I've been able to stand where Pastor Brian stands. I feel that much closer to him now. And we do want to stay in touch. We're going to be in Mississippi the next month, and then in Ohio, where I'm from. She's from Mississippi. I'm from Ohio. In Ohio, we say, did you eat yet? In Mississippi, we say, did you eat yet? And that's where we'll be. And then July 21st, we're flying out. So thank you for your prayers, and thank you for having us today. God bless, and let's go grow in Jesus.